Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." If you can then turn to the letter of Ephesians, chapter 3, and it's on page 1157. Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written to you briefly." In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory.
And your spirit is a hammer. Father, drive your word to us now, deep into us, by the power of Jesus and your spirit. Amen. Well, for those of you who are regulars here at CRCK, you'll know that for January, we've had visitors from around the different network churches preaching to us from the Book of Psalms, and I hope that you've enjoyed that. And that's been a wonderful time of encouragement and challenge as we go through that wonderful songbook in the Bible. But today, we are in some ways really starting the year here at church in earnest. We all know that in Australia, everything effectively shuts down over January, and although we certainly haven't been treading water for that month, it seems to be in February that things really heat up and start again, that we shake off the dust, or rather the sand from the beach from our shoes, and get down to work. Well, that's precisely what we're doing today, and that's why we're doing it today in Vision Sunday. But what is Vision Sunday? Well, Vision Sunday is simply this. It's a chance to prepare for the year ahead. We have got a lot planned for 2014. There will be evangelistic courses run. There will be ministry training programs rolled out. In a month's time, we'll be launching a new website and a new look for all of our church publications and promotions. We'll have a new welcoming strategy. There will be conferences. There will be a car boot sale. There will be a carol service. and more. All God willing, but we've planned for them. It's really quite exciting. It's so exciting even thinking about it now, and before we know it, it will be September. But there is no point planning for or doing any of these things unless, of course, we first of all pray to the Lord of the harvest for these things to happen. The book of James couldn't be clearer about that. But there's also no point in doing any of those things or making any of those plans unless we first of all know why we're doing them. It's so easy to dive into the year, isn't it? Unthinkingly. Without first taking the time to step back and to take stock before taking the plunge. And so that's what Vision Sunday today, this morning, is for. A chance for us as a church family to step back and get clear on our vision for the year before diving headlong into it. And I've just got two points for us to dwell on this morning, both of which are from Ephesians chapter 3. And the first is simply this, the vision of the church. You see, to understand the vision of our church, we first need to understand the vision of the church, don't we? What is church, any church, supposed to look like? What is the core business of church? What is church to be all about? Well, you'd be surprised perhaps, but there are lots of different versions of this vision, a vision of what church is to be all about out there. You go to any number of churches and you'll get a different answer to that question. In some churches, the main vision of the church, what church is to be all about, is it's to be an agent of social and political change. You see that this is one of the very few things that both liberal and fundamentalist churches have in common. They have very little else, but they do have this. They're both all about making a change in society. They just fight for different things. The liberals say that church is all to be about fighting poverty and discrimination and violence. And the fundamentalists say that church is all about changing society in the area of gay marriage and abortion and euthanasia. Now, don't get me wrong. All six and many more of those things are worth churches piping up about. But they're not what the church is to be all about. Other people won't see the church so much as about affecting change in society. No, they'll see the church as a place to teach morals. Church is a place where you send your kids along to Sunday school so they can get licked into shape. Adults come along to church when they've hit the skids so they can straighten themselves out, surround themselves with some positive influences. Well, of course, again, they're good things, aren't they? And yet, is that what church is to be all about? Others again will see church not as about affecting social change or even as a place to learn good morals, but as a club, as a family or a social club. That deep down, church is really about a place that, well, it really just helps me keep my family close. This is the one place where we can actually all get together during the week and go home for lunch afterwards. Or perhaps it's a place that lonely people go to meet friends. Other churches simply have no vision at all. Many of us just do church unthinkingly. It's like brushing my teeth or driving a car. It's just something I do. But what does the Bible say church is to be about? What our vision as a church should be? What church should look like? Be all about? Well, I think thankfully the Bible, if only we take the time to read it, gives us some very clear instructions about this. You see, the bottom line is that church shouldn't be all about social and political change, or all about teaching morals, or all about family and friends. No, the church is to be all about Jesus. And you really see that when you come to understand what the church is. Look with me at Ephesians, not chapter 3, but at chapter 2. What does Ephesians say that the church is? Well, first and foremost, the church is a gathering of sinful people. And look at chapter 2, verse 1 of Ephesians. As for you, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. The church is not a holy huddle. or a place for people who've got it all together. Far from it. The church is a place for sinful people. So if you're a sinner here, you're very welcome. In fact, you're only surrounded by other sinners. But of course, the church isn't just a place for sinners. No, the church is a place for transformed sinners or for people who want to be transformed. It's not just for sinners, but for saved sinners. As for you, verse 1, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but look at verse 4 of chapter 2. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Church is a place for sinners, but church is a place for saved sinners. But it gets even better than that. You see, I could be forgiven my sins, and yet then God have nothing more to do with me. Much like the person accused of a crime goes into court, is tried and declared not guilty, but then rather than being invited home by the judge for lunch afterwards, is simply sent on their way. You can be forgiven and yet then forgotten. But is that how God treats us as saved, forgiven sinners? No, not at all. No, we're not just saved sinners, forgiven, then forgotten. But we're sinners who have been brought near to God through Jesus. Look at verse 12. In him, Jesus, and through faith in him, Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We are forgiven, but we're also drawn near to God. And in being drawn near to God, we're also drawn near to each other. Look there at verse 6 of chapter 3. This mystery that Paul is declaring is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. If you are drawn near to God through Jesus, we are also drawn near to each other. That's the church. That's what church is. A group of saved sinners brought near to God and brought near to each other. Why? Why would God do it this way? Why would God bother to do that? Well, the answer is also in chapter 3, and we just read it. Why would God bring sinners to himself and draw them to each other? To show God's wisdom to an onlooking universe. You see, in sin, in rejecting God, we've made God look like a fool. God made us to love and to worship him, and yet almost instantly we've rejected him. And that makes God look like a fool. And it would have been so easy for God to deal with that fact, to defend himself and his reputation by simply destroying us. And yet how does God choose to defend his reputation? How does God make himself not look like a fool? How does God make himself look not foolish but infinitely wise? Well, not by destroying his enemies, but by reconciling us to him and to each other. During the Civil War in the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln was speaking at an event drumming up support for the war effort. He was at an official reception. And yet during that reception, he referred to the Southerners who were fighting against the Union in the North as erring human beings rather than as enemies to be exterminated. He refused to give in to a vindictive heart against the people who were even warring against him. Well, that pleased some people, but it didn't please the fiery old patriotic lady who, as soon as Abraham Lincoln had sat down and the event was over, marched up to him and rebuked him for talking kindly about people they should really be working to destroy. What was Lincoln's reply? Why, madam, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? Don't I destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? Well, isn't it the very wisdom and the power of God in the gospel and in the church? Doesn't God destroy his enemies when he makes us his friends? Look there in chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. God was not foolish in doing this. No, in the church, His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, in the church, God declares his wisdom to the onlooking, rebellious universe through the church. He shows that world what the world should be like by making a mini world, us. That is, as the world should be, all about Jesus. So what's the vision of the church? It's just that, to be the church. A group of people who, because we've been drawn near to God and to each other through Jesus, want to be all about Jesus. And by being the church, that mini world that's all about Jesus, we'll show to the onlooking rebellious world what it could be and what it should be. That's the vision of the church. But what about the vision of our church? I'll close with this point. You see, what I've just outlined is the Bible's vision for every church everywhere in the world. But what should be the vision of our church? What should our church look like here at CRCK in the light of these truths? Well, it flows from what we've just seen. If every church is a group of sinners drawn near to God through Jesus, then every church, including ours, has to spend a large part of its time drawing near to God, doesn't it? Drawing near to God, us to him in prayer, and being drawn near to by him as he speaks to us through his word in the Bible. Now, of course, what that looks like at each individual church will look different. What will it mean for us here in 2014? Well, I think for us here at CRCK, it will mean focusing on ministries that maximise those two activities, drawing near to God in prayer and having him draw near to us in the Bible. If you were here at the beginning of 2012 in February, you'd know that then we launched, under God and prayerfully, a 5-year strategic plan so that under God we would prayerfully see gospel growth even more increased here. And in that strategic plan, we focused on 4 key areas. And it won't surprise you that those 4 key areas revolved around drawing near to God in prayer and having him draw near to us in the Bible. We said that we'd focus on prayer in our large prayer meetings, in our connect groups, in our families and as individuals. We said that we would focus on making our Sunday gatherings when we're here today as good as we possibly could, because this is the time when our whole church family gets to meet together to have God draw near to us in his word, the Bible. We said that we'd work really hard on making our connect groups so good that they would be groups that would meet weekly so that we have regular exposure to the Bible. That in our connect groups we would study material that would follow the sermons so that there'd be continuity in the teaching, so that we'd get the most out of what we're studying in the Bible in church. That in our connect groups we would have leaders who are diligently trained and equipped so that we can have the best possible teaching for the Bible. We said that we'd concentrate on children and youth, that our Sunday schools and our youth groups would be primarily not just fun and games, as good as those things are and as much as we do them, but Bible studies and prayer groups. And since that time, praise God, God has begun to answer our prayers. We are praying more as a church. Well, there's still a long way to go, and there's certainly more to prayer than our quarterly prayer meetings, but they are slowly growing. Don't miss out on that prayer meeting. That is a fabulous time as we come together as one body to plead with God to make this church and this town all about Jesus. Come along. We've seen slow but steady growth in our Sunday service. We took some stats last year. You've all been counted, but not by name, don't worry. Just by credit card details. No, we've been taking headcounts over the past 6 months. Now, I know that sometimes it can feel on public holidays that church can be a bit of a ghost town, but we all got a shock when we went away on our leadership retreat. Over the past 6 months of last year, on average, our attendance grew by 50 people a Sunday. Praise God for that. Let's not rest on our laurels. Let's see that continue. In our Connect groups, last year we had 8. This year we have 12. Praise God. In our children's and youth ministry, last year we had our young adults Connect groups and our senior high school youth group Morph doubled in size. Sunday schools, children's church and kids biz, and Gems and Cadets have been growing. We started Little Squirts, our outreach playgroup. We've got a children's and youth minister. God has been so good to us. You see, we have got a long way to go, but God has been answering our prayers that we might be a church who more and more are equipped to draw near to Him in prayer and to have Him draw near to us in His word. But secondly, what should be the vision of our church? Well, if every church is a group of sinners who are drawn near to each other through Jesus, then every church, including ours, must spend a large part of our time drawing not just close to God, but drawing near to each other as well. That's why we want to work so hard at making our Sunday services so good, in particular in the area of welcoming, because we want to paint a picture of a mini world that is all about Jesus, so that people who come in here can easily get integrated. With our Connect groups, we want to work so hard this year at keep on meeting midweek, but not just to pray and to read the Bible, as important as that is, but also to share our lives with each other and to serve our wider community. What will it look like at our church? Well, it won't just mean drawing near to God. It'll mean drawing near to each other. But thirdly, if the purpose of every church is to draw near to God and each other, to declare the wisdom of God to an onlooking, rebellious world, to be a mini world that's all about Jesus, then every church, including our church, will want to invite others to join this mini world, won't it? To draw near to God, to draw near to us. That is evangelism. If the purpose of the church being all about Jesus is to declare God's wisdom to the world, that can't help but result in evangelism, can it? Can it? Isn't that going to have to be one of the hallmarks of 2014 for CRCK? In February 2012, we set a ridiculous target for the number of people who'd become Christians over the 5-year time. It was ridiculous for one reason. First of all, it's totally out of our control. Only God brings people into His kingdom. We can work as hard as we like and even pray as much as we like. But if God doesn't bring in people to His kingdom, none will come. It was secondly a ridiculous target because it was huge. It was 100 people. What would 100 new Christians over 5 years look like? Well, it would be amazing. And we haven't come anywhere close to that. We're nowhere near on schedule for that, I suspect for the two reasons I've just given. But we have seen progress. We have, under God's good hand, seen a trickle of conversions come in, even over the past 2 years, adding, of course, to the trickle of conversions that we've been seeing throughout the life of this church. Let's give great thanks to God for that. But please, brothers and sisters, let's never be content with a trickle. If it is as far as it is within God's hands to bring people into His kingdom, and it is entirely in His hands to do that, let's pray not for a trickle, but a stream, and then a flood. Who knows what God might do this year? Well, I know the one person who does, God. Well, let's read in His word how He wants us to get on board with His mission, and let's pray like mad to see if He wants that for us. Let's continue to pray for that. And let's continue to pray for the opportunities that we have planned and put in place for this year to see that happen more. For Christianity Explored, for our carol service, for Little Squirts, for Outreach Sunday, for the conversations you have over your back fence with your neighbours. You see, what is to be the vision of CRCK? Well, it's simply this. We don't get a choice about this because it's set for us by the Bible. What is our vision to be as a church? To be a group of saved sinners who draw near to God and draw near to each other through Jesus. That is, we are to be a mini world that is all about Jesus. And we do that so that we can declare to an onlooking, rebellious world the wisdom and power of God, so they can be all about Jesus too. What wonderful news, and what a wonderful vision that is. I hope you're excited for this year. I am. I know God is. So let's pray to him now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for drawing us near to you through the Lord Jesus and drawing us near to each other. But not just so we can be a holy huddle or a fun club, but rather so that we can be a mini world that is all about Jesus, so that other people might look in on us and see what we have and taste and see that you are good and want to join us. Father, we pray that this year, as every year, we would be a church that wants to be all about Jesus. Father, please help that be our true north for 2014, for what sets our sights, for what makes us say no to some things and yes to others. But Father, none of this will happen without your work. And so we plead that you would bless these plans for 2014 now, so that Jesus might be raised up amongst us and amongst this town. Amen. Dave Oudman is now going to come up and continue to lead us in prayer. Thanks, Dave.